Well, if you got your Bibles, turn to Nehemiah, and you can just turn to Nehemiah chapter number 2. That's where we're going to mainly be tonight. And y'all know I don't preach long, but tonight the Braves are in the World Series, so we really going to get out early. Amen. I covered last night for my dad in college, and I believe it was the Lord. I really do. I believe it was the Lord. Somehow we mixed it up and we printed off two of the same paper that they had already done. So one chapter we didn't even have to do last night. And I was like, this is the providence of God. And the Braves need me and I got to get home and cheer them on. By the way, they won last night. Amen. And I'm pulling for them to win again tonight. And we'll just go ahead and sweep them when they get back to Atlanta. Amen. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost up in here. Amen. Talking about the Braves, and man, I'll tell you what, I love the Braves, but I got a message that the Lord gave me tonight, and I hope it's a blessing to you. I hope it's a challenge to you. It was a challenge to me. And I'll just tell you, in my personal devotions, for the last few weeks, for almost a month now, I guess, I've been reading through the book of Nehemiah. I've been reading and I'm taking my time and I'm going through Nehemiah, and man, what an incredible feat he accomplished here in the first few chapters, and that's what I really want to talk about tonight. And if you know anything about Nehemiah, we know him for one main thing, and that was he went back to Jerusalem and he built the walls. And I was going to name this message, "We Need to Build the Wall," but I didn't want to politically insult anybody tonight. So I said, you know what, I won't call it that. I don't want anybody to look, give me a funny look, but I entitled this message tonight, "There's a Job to Be Done." There's a job to be done. And I don't know about you, but just like preacher was just talking about, when I get to heaven, when I go through those gates and I see my Savior face to face, I want Him, Brother Edwin, I want Him to call me faithful. I want Him to look at me and see a life that was dedicated to the cause of Christ. I want Him to see me and be proud of the work that I have done. Now, if nobody else knows my name or nobody else pats me on the back, that's fine. But I want to make Him proud. Amen. I want to do what He's called me to do. And right here we see Nehemiah has been given this burden. I believe it was a calling. I believe that when he found out that that Jerusalem had been torn down and burned down, and he heard about these walls, I believe that when he heard about these walls, there was a burden that burned down in his heart. You see, because this is where he was from. He was from Jerusalem. And so I want to say it like this. He was burdened for his hometown. He was burdened for his hometown. He saw that there was a need in his hometown. Now, I don't have to take you very far away from Calvary Baptist Church out in Lowndes County, Lake Park, Valdosta. We don't have to go very far for us to see some things, Brother Jesse, that are broken. We don't have to go far to see broken homes. We don't have to go far to see children that are growing up with just one parent. We don't have to go very far to see children that are no longer children, that have been brought up in the ways of the world, and now they are just producing fruit in what they've always known. Are y'all with me? Say amen. It doesn't take long. You don't have to go far, and you'll see that there are some things in our country, in our county, in our city that need to be repaired. I believe that when Nehemiah heard that his hometown was suffering, he heard that his hometown had some things go wrong, I believe it burdened his heart. Let me ask you this question. How burdened are you for your hometown? You see, we and I kind of touched on this past Thursday night in youth group. You see, we're real good at Monday. Anybody know what a Monday morning quarterback is? All right, on Monday morning, Me and Brother Edwin, we'll call each other and say, "Can you believe what that quarterback did yesterday?" But you know what? The thing about me and Brother Edwin talking about it, we wasn't playing. We weren't in the game. We had nothing to do with the game, and now we're going to criticize what somebody else was doing because they was in the game. Are y'all with me? And so many times, all we ever do, Brother Jeremy, is we see the problem. We see that there's an issue. We see that there are people that are hurting. We see there are people that need Christ. We see that there are families that need to be mended and put back together. We see children that need a godly influence in their life. But that's all we ever do is see it. I want to challenge you as a church. I want to challenge myself to be like Nehemiah and get burdened for our community. Get a burden for those young people that you see. Oh, well, I tell you what, in my day we wouldn't allow that. Well, guess what? You can make a difference in that person's life. Guess what? If you'll just step out of your comfort zone and get a burden for the lost, you might just make a difference in your community. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you tonight. There's a work to be done. There is a work to be done. I want you to know something about Nehemiah. I'll give you a few details about his life. He was a cupbearer. He was a cupbearer. If you don't know what a cupbearer is, for the king, there was a man. He stood beside the king, and if the king wanted any wine or if he wanted something to drink, his cupbearer would take a sip first to make sure it was poison. Amen. I'm not signing up for that job. Amen. Amen. Especially for our president. Amen. All right. I'm just kidding. I'm trying not to make it political, preacher. I'm sorry. All right. But anyway, I don't want to be the cupbearer. I'm not signing up for that job. All right. It better not be minimum wage. You better be paying me good if I do it. Right. I mean, this man, well, he was the first offense. If they was poison in his cup, this man was going to bite the dust. Are y'all with me? He was the cupbearer. And back in these days, as I was reading, I was studying Nehemiah back in these days, these kings, they thought so much of themselves that if you were in their presence and you didn't have a good attitude, they'd kill you. This is what they said. This is what I read about. This is what they said. They said because just being in the king's presence should put a smile on your face. This is how proudful these people were, these kings were. And Nehemiah came in, and day after day, he finds out, I'll tell you this, in chapter number 1, in the very beginning of chapter 1, first 3 verses, he finds out, somebody comes to him and tells him that Jerusalem has been destroyed. The walls have been burned down, they're tore down. And from the very beginning of chapter 1 until somewhere in chapter 2, Nehemiah, as I told you already, he began to have a burden. The Bible says that he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. Matter of fact, pretty much the whole first chapter of Nehemiah is Nehemiah praying and begging God for somehow, some way for him to bring it before the king so that he could basically have time off so that he could go back to his family, by the way, which was 800 miles away, so that he could go back home and help them build the walls. Man, he's praying, he's burdened. And this is one of the, we read over this like it wasn't nothing, but the king asked Nehemiah, he says, what you so sad about? We read over that, but understand, this could have been dangerous for Nehemiah. In this situation, him saying, what are you so sad about? What are you so upset about? He was supposed to be happy in the presence of the king. And so he said, what are you so upset about? And I believe it was God. I believe God worked this whole situation out, and Nehemiah was able to tell the king exactly what was going on and how he wanted to help his hometown. And I want to say this. He says, the land in which my fathers are from. I want to say this before I get into the message. There were some men, I believe there were men of God long before you and I that built some walls. Just like in Nehemiah's life here, there were some men long before Nehemiah, Brother Vic, who built these walls and they were being torn down. And I want to say, just like in Nehemiah's life, there have been some men of God in the past that have built up the walls, and the world in the last century has torn them down. And I believe it's up to you and I to understand and get a burden for the work of God, because there's a job to be done. Number one, I want you to notice about Nehemiah. Let's notice, number one, he realized his assignment. He realized his assignment. Verse number 3 of chapter 1, the Bible says, and they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. I've already kind of covered this in the introduction, but I want you to notice that when Nehemiah heard that his hometown was in trouble, he got burdened. He realized that he had an assignment. I want to say to you, you have an assignment. If you are saved in here tonight, you have an assignment. And that's the last thing Jesus told us to do before he left. That was to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There are broken people. There are hurting people all around us. And it is our calling. It is our job as a church, as a believer, to take what we have and go share it with somebody else. Amen. Right. Nehemiah realized that it was his assignment. I want you to notice he prayed in verse number 4. The Bible says, it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down, listen, and he wept. and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Let me ask you this question. When is the last time you got so burdened about your community and about the people you're living around that you cried, that you wept, that you mourned, that you laid on an altar and prayed about, oh Lord, I don't even know if I should say this in a room full of Baptists, that you fasted over, went without food for a day or two, just prayed for them. Now, I'm not pointing the finger. I'm pointing the finger at me. When's the last time I've done that? When's the last time we got so burdened about the lost that we were willing to sacrifice something of ours? He mourned. He wept. The Bible says he fasted and prayed. I want you to notice he prayed, but not only that, he planned. He planned. If you'll look in chapter number 2, and verse number 7, after he has already told the king that he wants to go into his hometown, verse number 7, the Bible says, moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And the letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace which appertain to the house and for the wall of the city and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. And so when he goes to the king, he said, King, by the way, if you're going to allow me to go and help my hometown, he said, I'm going to need a couple things. I'm going to need, number one, I'm going to need a letter to the governors to make sure nobody kills me on my way there. But then he said, I'm going to need a letter to the keeper of the king's forest or timber, and I'm going to need some wood to help build back some of the things that have been messed up. I want you to notice something that I'm not real good at. You can just ask my wife. Nehemiah planned. He planned. You see, this is something in my life and that over the last 2 years that God has really, really dealt with me about, because so many times we fly, if you will, off the seat of our pants. Are y'all with me? We just go with the flow. And the problem is with our world and our society today, our time gets sucked up just like that. Are y'all with me? Say amen. And we've got to plan. We've got to say, you know what? I'm going to go here. I'm going to witness these people. I'm going to do this. I'm going to mentor this young man. I'm going to take this man under my wing. I'm going to do this, and this is how I'm going to do it. Because if you're not, I promise you, the devil will make sure you don't. Amen? And so I noticed Nehemiah planned. Not only he prayed, but he planned. Let me ask you this question. Do you understand that you have an assignment tonight? Do you understand that you have a calling, whether you like it or not? If you've been saved by the grace of God, it is your duty to tell somebody else about the grace of God. It's your job. It's your assignment. Do you understand your assignment? Not only that, let me ask you this question. Does it burden you? Does it bother you that there are kids all around us that are living without the knowledge of the grace of God? Does it burden you? Does it break your heart that there are kids, there are families that are trying to make it without the grace of God? Here's the thing, and I try to get this across to myself. I preach this to myself more than I preach to anybody else. We have the answer right here. We have the answer, and it's available right here. But the problem is we hold on to it like it's a secret. It ain't a secret, amen. We have an assignment, and our assignment is to share it, amen. Number one, I noticed that Nehemiah realized his assignment. Number two, I want you to notice Nehemiah reacted to his assessment. He reacted to his assessment. Look in verse 17 of chapter 2. It says, then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and how gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them that the hand of my God, which was good upon me also, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me, and they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. I want you to notice, and I didn't read this, I'm just going to tell you what happened. If you don't believe me, you can read it yourself. But right before that, Nehemiah, he wakes up in the middle of the night, and he gets a few men, and the Bible says that he walks around the walls, and basically he takes inventory of what has happened. Basically, he is taking a good look for himself. He's heard from someone else from far away. He's heard these things, but he wanted to see it for himself. And I want to say this. So many times in my life, I know it's in my life. So many times the broken things in my life, Brother Jesse, I don't want to look at. I'd rather just ignore. When the Lord puts his finger right here, when preacher's preaching and I'm sitting over here by my wife and I'm sweating, y'all know how it is, right? He's preaching on your sin and the Lord's putting his finger on it. And sometimes the Lord don't just tap. Sometimes he digs his finger in on me. Is anybody else? And the Lord's putting his finger, you know, so many times, you know what we do? We brush it off. God says, here's something broken that needs to be fixed. And we say, you know, no, Lord, I'll wait till tomorrow. I remember at youth camp, Brother Jason Holly, he said the devil's favorite word is tomorrow. The devil's favorite word is tomorrow. If you'll just wait till tomorrow, and guess what he's going to say tomorrow? If you'll just wait till tomorrow, and guess what he's going to say the next day? He's going to say, if you'll just wait till tomorrow, and the devil, he'll make you put it off, and he'll help you put it off as long as you'll let him. Amen. Let me ask you this question. Are you taking a good look at what's broken tonight? Are you taking a good look around us, not only in our community, in our church? Are we taking a good look around us and saying, you know what? There's some things that need to be mended. There's some things that need to be fixed, and I can do something about it. I noticed that he didn't just take a look, but he reacted to his assessment. He saw what needed to be done, but like we said before, he didn't just see it. He took action. He took action. I want you to notice he woke up some help. In verse number 12, like I said just a minute ago, the Bible says that he rose up in the night, I and some few men. I believe Nehemiah went around and went to his buddy and woke him up and said, hey, come on. Went and got another guy and said, hey, come on. You know what I'm doing up here tonight? I'm trying to wake y'all up. I'm trying to wake you up. I'm trying to say, hey, come on, let's go take a look. Hey, come on, let's go take a look at what needs to be fixed. Nehemiah woke some people up. I wonder, when's the last time you walked over to your neighbor and say, hey, look, I don't know how we're going to do it. I know the devil's probably going to fight us tooth and nail, but me and you are going to do it together, and we're going to do this work for God. That's what the church is all about. That's what this is. That's why we're here. Y'all do realize that, right? That's why we're here, so that I can count on Brother Kenny to do a work for God, and I can count on Brother Jesse to do work for God, and Brother Edwin. And these men, and we can get together, and before you know it, we got a whole crew of us, and we can do a work for God. Amen. So I noticed he reacted to his assessment. He woke up some help. Second thing I noticed about this is he shared with them his vision. The Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. He showed them. He said, can't y'all see this? Y'all see these walls? Can't you see what's going on? Can't you see that something needs to be done? He shared his burden. He shared his vision. But I want you to notice this, he inspired them to work. He inspired them to work. How did he do that? He told them God is able. He told them God is able. I want to tell you, just like Nehemiah told these people tonight, I want to tell you, church, God is able to use us. God is able to use every single person under the sound of my voice to build something, to do something for the cause of Christ. But it's up to us to not only assess the damage, but to react upon our assessment, to do something about it. Amen. So, let me ask you this question. Do you see what is broken? Do you see what's broken? Let me ask you this. What's your reaction? What's your reaction? I know this is convicting tonight because the Lord has been dealing with me all day about it. Because you know what it does? It puts the flashlight on you. And you're like, uh-oh. Let's just be honest. Let's just be real good and honest tonight. We're not doing what we could be doing. Let's just be honest. There is some work that needs to be done that ain't getting done because we ain't doing it. And I'll be the first one to admit it. I'll be the first one to admit it that I get lazy. I'll be the first one to admit it that I get content. Complacent. Are y'all with me? That's not what God called us to do. God called us to work. God called us to be servants. Amen. Do you have a burden? Do you understand your assignment? What's your reaction? When you see what's going on around him, what's your reaction? Number three, not only do he realize his assignment, he reacted to his assessment. Number three, he rejected his adversary. In verse number 19, the Bible says that, but when Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem, the Arabian, heard it. Listen what they did. They laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? Now, I just want to say this. There was no Sanballat and Tobiah when he was back in the palace. There was no Sanballat and Tobiah when he was burdened and he kept everything to himself. But when he started seeing results, when he stepped out on faith and got outside of his comfort zone and started doing something for God, that's when the enemy attacked. Are y'all with me? That's when the enemy attacked. And I want to say this, and I hope this doesn't discourage you from wanting to do something for God, but if you step out on faith and try to do a work for God, you're going to have a big old target on your back. You want to know why? Because the devil does not like when he is contradicted, if you will. But that doesn't stop the fact. Listen, there was still a job to be done. There was still a wall to be built. There was still a work for God that had to be done. And Nehemiah, thank God, Nehemiah did not let two or three people that were laughing at him and mocking him and making fun of him slow him down. Let me ask you this question. Who are you going to let slow you down? Who are you going to let slow you down? Who are you going to let hinder the work of God in your life? I say it to the kids. I know they probably face this exact scenario more than adults do, but adults face this scenario too, but it's a little different. See, adults, they say, you know what, I don't want to get too involved. I don't want to get too busy because my friends will start asking questions. Anybody ever had a friend ask questions? Like, why are you always, man, all we want to do is go hang out, man, and y'all always down at the church. Anybody ever had somebody ask you that? Man, all we do, we just want to go hang out. We just want to go do something. But every time we turn around, you're embarrassing us because you walk up to somebody and ask them about if they knew Jesus. Man, we just want to hang out. When are we going to quit allowing what other people have to say or other people's opinion? When are we going to quit allowing that to affect our purpose, our ministry, our work of God? When are we going to quit allowing that to take place? And now everybody in here, you say, no, I would have never done it. I don't care what anybody thinks about me. Let me ask you this question. Let me single you out for the one who just thought that. Let me single you out. How many people have you led to Christ in the last 2 months? You're going to try to tell me that has nothing to do with what somebody else might think? Well, I don't want to go and ask somebody and then intrude. You know, I don't want to offend anybody. Listen, quit letting people affect what God's told you to do. If God told you to do it, do it. God told Nehemiah to go build the wall, and it didn't matter come hell or high water, he was going to build that wall. Amen. So I notice he rejected his adversary. I notice his declaration. I love this. In verse number 20, he says, then answered I them and said unto them, you're right, I should probably just cower down and go back to the palace. You're right, I probably ain't up to this anyway. All I ever do is just, you know, taste wine for the king to make sure he don't die. I better just go. No, that's not what he said. Verse number 20, he said, the God of heaven, that's my God, amen. Is that your God tonight? The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build, but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. You know what he said? He made a declaration. He said, the God of heaven, this was his declaration, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. That was his declaration. He said, just like the boys in Daniel chapter number 3, our God whom we serve is able. Amen? That's what he said right here. But then also, I want you to notice his determination. His determination, he says, therefore, we his servants will arise and build. Just like Daniel chapter number 3, he said, but if not, we still won't bow to you. Amen. We're still not going to allow what you have to say affect what God has told us to do. Amen. I want you to notice his declaration, but not only that, I want you to notice his determination. He was not going to allow the adversary to distract him or to hinder him. Let me ask you this question tonight. Will you let the noise around you, how many of you know there's a lot of noise around us? Will you let or allow the noise around you affect your ministry? Every one of you has got a calling. Every one of you in here has got an assignment tonight. Let me ask you this question. If you're not doing your assignment, what do you need to cut out of your life? If you're not doing your assignment, what is it that's hindering you? Well, my job. Well, you need to pray about your job. Well, I'm so busy taking this kid here and this kid here. Well, you need to pray about that. Uh-oh. Don't get mad at me. He's going to preach next service, all right? Y'all don't get mad at me. Throw knives at me. I'm just being honest with you. I'm being honest with you because God was pretty blunt with me earlier. Amen. I've said this before preaching up here. If you're too busy, you're too busy. If you're too busy, you're too busy. I know that's deep, but it's true. God has a work. God has an assignment for you. If you can't do it, then you need to make sure those things that are hindering you from doing it go to the back burner. Amen? So, I'll notice, number one, he realized his assignment. He reacted to his assessment. Number three, he rejected the adversary. Number four, and I'm done, he reached his accomplishment. He reached his accomplishment. In chapter number 6, in verse number 15, if I can find it, y'all give me a second. It's hiding from me. Chapter number 6 in verse 15, the Bible says, so the wall was finished in the 20th and 5th day of the month Elul in 52 days. Imagine that. 52 days. This wall was built. We're talking about the wall that surrounded Jerusalem. The Georgia Department of Transportation can't even fix a pothole in 4 years. Amen. And they built a whole wall in 52 days. Can you understand that? Do you understand how big of a feat this was? Do you understand the miracle that took place here in Nehemiah? But I want to tell you why this happened. This happened because every single person in Jerusalem, you know what they did? They didn't worry about what Brother Jesse was doing. They didn't worry about what Brother Herman was doing or what the preacher was doing. They built the wall in front of their own house. What the Bible says, they built the wall in front of their own house. That's all God is asking you to do. Just fix what's in front of you. Just do what you can with what you got. Just walk outside and do something about the people and the things that are broken right in front of you. This was accomplished not because Nehemiah was this great man. It wasn't because they had the best contractors and they had the best equipment. It was because every single person sold out to do the job that was in front of them. Are y'all with me? Say amen. And every single one of us, there's no telling. Listen, y'all say, well, Lake Park's a small town. I tell you what, it's a small town, but it's got great potential. If we'll just walk outside the door and look at the brokenness that's right in front of us, God can do a miraculous and great work if we'll just be faithful to do the job at hand. Amen. God's got something for this church. We're not done growing, by the way. We're not done reaching people. We're not done seeing people get saved. We're not done seeing people get baptized. You want to know why? Because there's still a work that needs to be done. There's still broken people that need help. There's still homes that need to be put back together. And we have the answer. It's just a matter of a fact of walking out the door and putting your hand to the hammer. Amen? Amen. He reached his accomplishment. I want you to notice his expectations were probably exceeded. As I read this, I thought of Jeremiah 33:3, where God says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. Y'all ready for this? Which thou knowest not. I bet you Nehemiah didn't think it was going to be built in 52 days. But he trusted God, and he prayed. Remember when he prayed? And he called upon God, and God did what he said he was going to do, and he exceeded his expectations. Amen. If you'll just be faithful tonight, if you'll just do what God's told you to do, if you'll just pray and ask Him to bless your efforts, I promise you this, He'll exceed your expectations. I not only thought about Jeremiah 33:3, but what about Ephesians 3:20? Where He says He'll do abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Listen, I'm claiming those kind of prayers, amen. I'm claiming those kind of verses in Lake Park. I'm saying, Lord, look, I know it's a small town, and I know we started out as a small church, but I guarantee you, there's some people that's been saved by the grace of God. But if we'll just get on board, if we'll just get busy, if we'll just get a burden like Nehemiah did for his hometown, there's no telling what God can do. He will exceed our expectations. Not only exceed our expectations, but I want you to notice this. God was exalted in verse number 16. Of chapter number 6, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived," listen to this, "that this work was wrought of our God." You know, when everybody started hearing things, you know what, Brother Jesse, they didn't say, "You know what, that old Brother Jake, he sure can lead the choir." They didn't say, "Oh, Brother Chip, man, he's the best usher we got." He didn't say, "Brother Robin, man, he's a great pastor." He didn't say, Brother Dalton was a great youth pastor." He didn't say any of that. You know what he said? "This is a work of God. This is a work of God." It wasn't a single man show. It wasn't what one person could do, but it was a group of people who were completely sold out to the work of God. And because of that, God blessed it. And when God blessed it, everybody else took note. Amen. You know what our job is? To make much of Him. You know what our job is? It's not to show everybody what we can build. It's not to, I don't want everybody to look at me and say, "Man, he's built a great worker. He's done this." I want people, when they look at my life, I want them to see Him. Amen. I want people to see Him. I want to lift Him up. Let me ask you this question. Do you understand the same God who helped Nehemiah build something great is the very same God that's in our presence tonight? The very same God thousands of years ago who burdened Nehemiah, who gave Nehemiah all the supplies that he needed, who helped Nehemiah as he was building that wall, as he was inspiring those people to get on board and casting his vision on these people. That same God that was with Nehemiah is the same God that'll help us in Lake Park, Georgia. Amen. It's the same God that'll strengthen us. It's the same God that'll supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. It's the same God who inspired Calvary Baptist Church to get off of our seats and get busy for the cause of Christ. Let me ask you this, church. Are you doing your job? Every one of us have a job. Are you doing your job? I'm asking myself this too. I'm not pointing a finger at anybody. Are you doing your job? Miss Teresa's come to piano. Are you doing your job? If the rapture was to happen right now, if God was to call us home, you walk through those gates, would God be able to say to you, "Well done. Well done. You've done exactly what I've asked you to do." Or would He say, "Well, you did some of what I asked you to do." I don't know about you, but I want Him to be pleased with my life. I want Him to be pleased with the work that I have done for Him. Let me ask you this question. Are you doing all you can do? Is the job that God has called you to do, is it getting done? Or is it put on the back burner? Where's your priorities at tonight? I'm asking myself this. Where's our priorities? Do we see people as souls, or we just see them as people? Do we understand there's people that are broken, that are hurting, in our hometown that need our help? Listen, I don't know about you, but I want to get busy doing my job. I want to work harder to accomplish my job. If you don't do your job, that's between you and God. But I don't want to get to heaven and understand that I have not done my job. I encourage you, church, tonight. Find a place around these altars. Maybe commit to God. Say, "You know what, Lord? I haven't been doing my job lately, but as of tonight, I'm going to do my job. I know I've got a job to do. I know I'm holding back the work of God, and I'm not going to do it anymore. Would you come?" Amen.
Heads bowed with me, if you will. I love the book of Nehemiah. When I came here and I began as youth pastor at North Augusta, one of the first things that I taught was out of the book of Nehemiah, the need to build walls. Dalton has applied this tonight in such a manner as our work and our witness outside the walls of this church. We're to do the work in front of us, the work that we have been assigned, the work that we have been commanded. But I also see in Nehemiah the walls within us that need to be built up. Walls within us that have been broken down. Gates that we've allowed to be torn down and that are letting things into our lives that have no business being in our life. So not only do I see an aspect of the community, our job in building up those walls and being supposed to be outside of this church, but I also see within us walls that need to be repaired. Walls that need to be reinforced. Maybe tonight there's some broken walls in your life. Some things the enemy has come against you at. He's created some holes in your life. And over again, he comes in and attacks you through the same spot. Why don't you repair that wall tonight? Why don't you work on that wall tonight? I wonder if there's one here tonight that you don't know Christ as your Savior. I'm thankful in our church that the Spirit of the Lord has liberty to move in the services. No matter what's being done, whether it's a testimony, whether it's a song, whether it's a smile on somebody's face, whether it's the preaching of the word, the Holy Spirit is here and convicts. So if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, I want to offer you an opportunity to get saved before we leave out of here. I'm not asking you to do something I didn't do. As I've already mentioned tonight, September 28, 1997, God saved me. I was sitting in a church service on a Sunday morning on the second row. God showed up in my life. And under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, that morning I got saved. So I'm not asking you to do anything that I didn't do. But I'm asking you tonight, do you want to get this thing right? You want to lay down your head on a pillow tonight knowing that if you were to die, that you'd spend eternity in heaven. The Bible tells us that we can know. These things that are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So tonight, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, you can't lay your head down on a pillow at night and know for sure that if you died, you'd go to heaven. I want you to do me a favor. With nobody looking around, I want you to just look up at me. That's all I'm asking you to do. Thank you. Thank you for being honest. Is there anybody else? Be honest with the preacher. I do not know. Anybody else will be honest with me tonight. Let me ask you this. Thank you. Let me ask you this. If I get somebody to take a Bible and show you how to be saved tonight, would you let me do it? If you're a lady, I got a lady that can show you from the Bible how to be saved. You can go home tonight, lay your head down on a pillow, knowing that if you were to pass away, if something was to happen, you'd spend eternity in heaven. If you'll let me do that tonight, I want you to come and let me help you. Miss Logan. Who else will come? Is there anybody else? Never know what's going on in a service. Never know what's going on in somebody's heart. Why don't you get this thing settled tonight? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you tonight, Lord, I thank you Lord, for a fresh word. Lord, I thank you for the message that you placed on Dalton's heart. Lord, I pray that we'd realize that, Lord, we have an assignment. I pray that we'd reject our adversaries, those that would come against us. God, I pray, Lord, that we would react. Lord, do the work that you have given us to do with all of our heart. Lord, tonight, may we get this part of the message. The walls need to be built around us. Somebody has to fix what's in front of us. And right now, Lord, the church is broken, not just ours, but as a whole. Lord, we're not reaching our communities anymore. Lord, I pray, Lord, you put a burden on us. Lord, I pray through tears and prayer, some fasting. God, we get a burden for our community, a burden for the people outside of these walls. And Lord, I pray, God, that you do a great work. Lord, not so somebody can be lifted up, but God, I pray you do such a work that everybody says, man, God's doing something over there. Lord, we'll do our part in lifting you up every service. For we know the Bible says if you be lifted up, God, you'll draw them into you. So Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that we'd resolve to do our part. God, what you do exceeding above all that we could ask or think. Lord, we'll be sure to give you all the honor and the glory, Lord, for what you're going to do, both in our